listeners,
that's the lazy part of the chicken.
I just found that the worst quality of my producing partner, Sim, is that he's like the breast chicken man. I have no problem with you being a female breast man, but I have a horrible problem with you being just like a strictly chicken breast man, because it really because it doesn't have as much fat.
It doesn't. It doesn't have the fat or the flavor. But, yeah. But I'm the opposite way with steak, because I don't like filet mignon, which is very popular, and that because that has the least amount of flavor, the least amount of fat.
I know what also what it is. When you were going on a ton of dates back in the day, your dates would order the filet mignon. Come on, you know I'm right. And you would be so annoyed because it's so expensive.
No, what I realize about, you know, dates, and here's the thing. When you're going to go out to dinner, food, I feel like, is like the negligible cost. It's really the amount you drink, because no matter what you order, it doesn't matter, because every time you order a drink, it's $15-16. So the food at the end of the day doesn't really do anything to the price of the final. It's always the alcohol.
Tiffany?
You can go anywhere to eat.
I disagree.
Really?
I thoroughly disagree. But that might be because I bring my own drink to the restaurant. On the first date, I want to let him know that I likes to save money.
Do you have a little thermos?
So I have like a little vat. You know, little thermos, little flask that say "She Ready" on it, and it got peach Ciroc in it. And I just pull it. I'm like, "You want some? Get us some cranberry juice. I got the vodka, baby."
Wait, you've done that before on a first date?
Mm-hmm.
Dear listeners, my guest tonight is Tiffany Haddish, and she is the lead female in Keanu. The movie that we did. And I gotta tell you, I could not love her more. And the more she reveals herself to me, the more I just love.
Well, I love you too, boo.
Hey, so Tiffany, will you tell us a little bit about? Okay, so we met in where was it? It was outside of New Orleans.
Yeah, we were in Louisiana somewhere.
And you guys have been shooting Keanu for quite a long time. And I came in to do a cameo, one of your last days of shooting.
Yeah, it was our last week. Yeah.
And you were just so kind and lovely to me. And I was so thrilled to be there, because I got to be a really insane, you know, horrible.
Can we talk about that for a second, please? Because so... We went to go see the movie. Tiffany, we went to go see the movie last night. And mm-hmm. I didn't know any... I mean, I knew that she was in the movie. I knew that it was a cameo. It was an unbilled cameo. And I knew that, you know, everyone was trying to keep it a secret, even mm-hmm. though all the reviews talked about it, because her performance was absolutely insane and incredible.
Yes. Oh, that's...
It was so good. I told you. Didn't I tell you that?
No,
I said
you
she
did.
Was good.
You did.
She's my unpaid intern.
No, it was seriously like... I was blown away. I mean, I wasn't surprised, because you've done that. No, you haven't done that character before, but you've played crazy characters before, like in Just Friends.
Mm-hmm.
This took it to another
it's
level.
It's so rewarding, and to get to work with those guys and you, Tiffany, in particular, made me feel so welcome and loved. Like, I feel like the moment I was in hair and makeup, the, you know, whatever, hair and makeup trailer, like, I think we were doing night shoots, so it was probably like 5 mm-hmm. p.m. And you came in and you were so gregarious and funny, and you made me feel, because it's always nerve-wracking to go into to be a guest mm-hmm. in somebody else's environment, and you made me feel really wonderful. And
well, that's good, because I'm going to tell you right now, I was trying everything in my power not to be a groupie. I want to be like, girl, when you was, girl, let me tell you, I went to see your one movie I made out with this dude the whole time. I was like, I love this bitch. Like, it took everything in my power not to act like a groupie, because I feel like I grew up with you. I felt like watching you and everything. And so when you were there, I was so excited, and I was just like, I'm going to treat her like she's been my friend for years.
Oh, my God. And you made me feel that way.
Because you were a friend
so
to me.
Good.
You didn't know that, but you like brought a lot of joy
oh
to me
God.
Throughout the
you,
years.
I love it was like instant love. So I'm just like, I and then you came over a few nights ago. I had a few friends over, dear listeners. I wanted to have you guys over too. But Tiffany came over sort of last minute, and it was just so great to be able to, you know, connect with her, and she's just an incredible person. I really am excited for tonight's episode because I always say tonight, but we release during the day.
Hey, dear listeners, this week's episode of...
You can say it.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can. It's
Unqualified. Unqualified?
You're so close.
Here.
Okay. Hey, dear listeners, I want to thank our presenting sponsor, State Farm, for supporting Unqualified. Friends don't usually have answers to your insurance questions, but State Farm agents do, and they are ready to help with more insurance options than you can imagine. Check out statefarm.com today to find an agent in your neighborhood. State Farm, talk to an agent today. Tiffany, would you mind telling us a little bit about your amazing story?
So, you guys, listeners, people out there in the world.
Because it is.
People all over the world. So, look, I'm from, my name is Tiffany Haddish, and I'm from South Central Los Angeles. That's right, baby, born and raised. And I've been through a lot of different things in my existence, and I feel like all those things made me a better person. Like, my mom, she had a really bad car accident, and she ended up being not mentally capable of taking care of me and my brothers and sisters. And I remember when the accident happened, I had to be like, I was like instant mom. You know, I was about 9 years old, almost 10. And, you know, I was, everything that my mom had taught me, I was basically teaching her. So, cause she had lost her memory. She wasn't able to walk. It took her like months to learn how to walk again, learn how to talk again. And so everything she taught me, I taught her. Like, she taught me how to tie my shoe, I taught her how to tie her shoe. She taught me how to make hot dogs, I taught her how to make hot dogs. Like, but at the same time, I was taking care of my two sisters and my brothers, and it was like super stressful, right? And then we ended up in foster care because I guess I wasn't a great mom at freaking 11. You know, I really tried, but by the time we were 12, you know, the
I'm 39 and I'm quite possibly an atrocious mom.
I doubt it.
Not true
at all.
I
highly doubt it. I mean, I was putting the smack down on my brothers and sisters, like, oh, you don't want to wash them clothes. I don't care if you're six. Do the laundry.
Like, but that's a lot.
Yeah.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have two sisters and two brothers.
Okay.
And so we all had like our chores and stuff, and we were still in my mom's custody, and it was like super difficult for her because I guess once you lose your memory and stuff, like, and you get all that back, like you have like a horrible concussion, like when your head goes through a window, you know, of a car at high speed, you're gonna be different. And the doctor told me, like, I remember when she came out the hospital, the day she came out, he pulled me to the side and he said, your mom is never gonna be the same person as she was before, you know, but you're just gonna have to grow up. Wow. And be strong, just help her whenever you can.
That happened when you were 11?
Yeah, no, that happened when I was like nine, almost
so
10 years old.
You're 9 years old and the doctor says your mother is never going to be the same
she's
person.
She's never
going to
be the same. And he was right. I feel like she got demonized or something. She was like, at first it was cool, you know, it was like she was learning everything all over. And then after about a year, she became like this mean, evil person because she couldn't figure out, like, she was a smart woman. By the time she was 27, she had two houses. She had her own business going. She was a manager at a U.S. post office. You know, she had all these fantastic things going for her. So it was like, now all of a sudden, boom, it's like everything kind of shut down. She can't move like she wants to. She can't talk like how she wants to. So then she's, you know, when you can't figure out words for stuff, you start swinging on people. Mm-hmm. So she would swing on me. Then I would swing on my brothers and sisters. It's like a vicious little cycle. So then we go into the foster care system.
Wait, swinging?
Yeah. That means punching, socking, busting you in the face, knock out a baby tooth, you know, okay, swinging.
I want to get into this segment later.
You want to learn some words?
Yes, I do. Okay, but we're
swinging.
Go on.
She swung on me, man. She was swinging on me. That means she not like I had my arm out and she was swinging back and forth. No,
happy.
She was like busting me in the mouth, like full fist, you know, to the chest, like, ah. Thanks to her, I know how to fight. You know, I know how to fight real good because of her. I really appreciate her for that. That's one of the main things she did teach me, how to whoop some ass.
I got to tell you, so my mom, you wouldn't think it, but I know your story is way more interesting. But my mom did, she got vicious sometimes. Mm. I don't know if I could say that she was swinging, but there were times, there were times that she was close, and there were a couple of little incidents. But
she
was
choked
good.
You, huh? She choked you. She choked you, huh?
That's why I'm a little dumb.
Yeah,
that's
cut
why
off
I play
your
all those dumb girls. But no. But she did like express frustration in an incredibly vocal, uncontrolled way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that she, but in a way, it made me step up to the plate. And I don't know if that's, I'm still sort of wrapping my head around sort of this kind of articulation, but she made me, she expected a lot out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. And as I am to my mom, I'm grateful, you know, I mean, I don't think she really wanted to put all that on me, but I'm glad that I carried that weight for her. I'm glad that everything that I learned, I'm so strong now because of it. You know, at the time I used to be like, I hate her. I hope she get hit by the ice cream truck. Like, yeah. Get so mad.
The ice cream truck
would come through and they would hit kids every now and then.
Hits kids every now and again?
Yeah, every now and then they come
because they
the
jump in front
quick.
Because they were so excited about the ice cream.
Yeah, they come running across the street, right? And then they don't like wait till the truck pass. They try to, you know, cut the truck off and then get hit by the truck.
You've seen that happen?
Yeah.
What happens to the kids? Are they bad accidents where they're like they need to?
Not so bad. Usually they just get like a popsicle, got a little broke arm or something like that. But they get free popsicles.
If you have
like
a broken
week.
Arm, here's a free popsicle. Go on your way.
Yeah, for a few weeks. In the summer, you got free ice cream the whole summer.
Sorry I hit you and broke your arm with my ice cream truck. Here's a bunch of free popsicles lasting the summer.
And then it's usually like some foreigner that don't even have like a driver's license or nothing. So they really trying to look out. You know, they're like, here. How about a big pickle for you too? You get the ice cream and some pickles. How about that?
Wait, why are there pickles in the
pickles.
Ice cream truck?
Oh my God, those pickles on the ice cream truck are the business.
Are there
you
pickles on
lived.
An ice cream truck? I didn't make any sense. Why would they get so
because
both?
In the hood, there's a lot of women that's pregnant. Hello. And they like ice cream and pickles. Hello.
That does make sense now.
Duh.
No, I had no idea.
Y'all live in these hills. I can't no ice cream truck come up the hill. It's too much. It'll take you too long to run out to the truck.
So I spent the first 6 years of my life in outside of Baltimore. And my dad, I think he was a professor at this what's now called Towson State University.
Mm-hmm.
And he made $17,000 a year, which was, you know, I mean, I at the time, you know, growing up, I had no idea that we were on a lower income level, whatever. I knew that I got hand-me-downs. I didn't care. And we never were hungry.
Let me ask you this. When you ever got hand-me-downs, did you feel like you like took on somebody else's magical powers?
Oh, I loved getting the bags of hand-me-downs.
Oh, my God. We was going to this Kingdom Hall, right? My grandma, she was a job witness, so we was going to this Kingdom Hall when she got custody of me. And there was this girl. Her name was Megan, and she was fine, right? All the dudes used to be trying to talk to her and stuff. She had big
titties. Megan?
Yeah.
Any girl named Megan is
black chick named Megan with long hair, everything, right? She had long nails, all that. And then she would give her old clothes, she would give to me. And then I felt like I had long hair and big titties, but they never came in. But I would wear her dresses like they was brand new.
Tiffany, you're looking hot.
Thank you. I glued these lashes on myself. Watch the YouTube video.
but we've had like, and Chris, my husband, grew up, you know, like we both didn't grow up with a ton of privilege necessarily. I mean, I like my dad, after we moved to Seattle, he got a great job at an advertising agency or, you know, whatever. So there was a lot, but you know, there wasn't a ton of privilege. And Chris had sort of had the same experience, especially maybe even more so to some degree or whatever. But the ice cream truck and living here up in Hollywood and everything is something that we love on one hand, because it's nice and we get to live our dream and everything, but we also want Jack, our son, to be able to, we want
him to suffer a little bit so he can appreciate it?
Yes.
Well, let me babysit him for 2 weeks. I'm still hood adjacent.
Okay, so if
there's little ice cream truck that come down my street.
Sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to go stray. But yes. Okay, yes.
I want him to understand what he got.
Yes, that's yeah. right. That's right. That's exactly
well,
what I
want. You
gotta
just let him come visit me when he get about 6, 7. Then you have him come and hang out with Auntie Tiff.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna take him to the hood.
What are you gonna
show him? We're gonna go up to my cousin's house. We can see some roaches and stuff. You know, he gotta really
get
some real experience.
But Jack is gonna love the roaches, by the way.
Oh, he'll love them.
He'll love the roaches. He'll be like studying the roaches.
Yeah, he'll probably pick them up and start asking you questions about the roaches.
He'll stomp.
Well, I'll take him to the hood.
Listen, we have roaches here. It's gross.
No, y'all probably have water bugs. Y'all probably have beetles. You guys probably have
Are beetles like high class roaches? What is it?
Yeah, beetles are high class roaches. That's when, you know, once you get higher in the hills, the roaches don't go up to the hills. You know why the roaches have survived for hundreds and thousands of years? Because they get underground. They stay in the lower part of town. They go where the crumbs is at. They go where the crumbs. There's no crumbs here.
As soon as you get this high, it's just beetle territory.
Only beetles. You might have a potato bug or two. Right. That's it.
Okay, but wait, Tiffany, will you tell us more? I'm sorry, I got to
Okay, so foster, can we go back to that?
Okay, so foster care. Foster care was a super interesting experience. Some people would say foster care is the most horrible thing in the world. I personally think it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I learned how to handle so many different types of emotions and feelings at such an early age. Like when we first went in, I remember my two sisters being put in a home and my two brothers being put in their home. And I had to be put by myself because there wasn't enough room for me to be in either place. And so I told the social worker, like, I'm going to go with you. I need to know where they are because I basically take care of these kids. And I remember feeling like, dang, she's taking us away from my mom. But really, I felt like she was taking them away from me. Mm-hmm. Like I was a bad mom because I really consider my mom like another child, you know.
Mm-hmm. That must have been so hard.
You know what? When I think back about it, it didn't feel like it. It felt like that's what was supposed to be because I didn't know anything any different.
Right. Because you adapt.
Yeah, you adapt to your environment and you fit in. And it's like, I didn't realize my shit was like so fucked up until I started like hanging out with other kids and being like, and going to school in Woodland Hills, California, you know, and being around white people for the first time and thinking I was at the Nickelodeon Awards because I thought all white people lived in TV and they like played, you know, and then they was in the hood, but they were strategically placed, like, you know, all the police, I thought they were from Chips, you know, I thought they were from that TV show. The teachers, I thought they all worked for PBS. You know, it's just like everything, like I had in my mind associated everything with what I saw through television. And I think that's probably why I want to be a part of that medium, because really it helped me to develop and shape my existence. And so like when we went into that first foster home, I remember I dropped my sisters off and the social worker was smoking weed in the car. And I didn't even know what weed was at the time. My mom didn't do drugs or anything like that. So I thought she was smoking stanky ass cigarettes. Right. And then she takes my brothers and, I never forget when she dropped my brothers off. My baby brother, he couldn't talk that good. And all he could say was mama, mama, mama. And that's what he was calling me. And I was always trying to tell him, no, you say Tiffany. Say Tiffany. If you want me, you say Tiffany. And he was like 2 and a half. And so we take him into the house or whatever. And we leave. And here comes my little baby brother. He's only 2 and a half, trying to run down the sidewalk. And he's like, Tiffany, Tiffany, no, don't leave me, Tiffany. Oh. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, at first, I wanted to cry so bad because this is his first time saying my name. And we're being separated. And then at the same time, I'm, like, so happy because he calling me Tiffany. Like, he think I got big titties. Like, I'm feeling all breasts. You know, I'm feeling all proud of myself. You know, and I just feel like I taught him something. And I hugged him. And I taught him I'd be back. So we leave, and then my social worker, instead of taking me to a house, she takes me to the McLaren Hall, which is like, it's the worst. Like, I don't know if they're still running the place now, but back in the days, like, I did my research on the place, and there used to be a place where they would take kids whose parents was like, you know, criminals, or they have mental disabilities or whatever, and they would, like, you know, do all kind of crazy stuff, like fix you, sterilize you, and stuff. Like, California was like the leading state and in the world of sterilization of children, especially like black ones. And so it was so like scary. I didn't know that at the time. I was just scared because it was like a jail. You know, you go in, it's like cling, 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 cling. And the social worker's like, I'll be back tomorrow to get you. I can't take you to the place you're supposed to be at. And it was so scary. Them girls, it was like bunks in a small room. And these girls are like, who are you? What you like? They gang banging on me. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm finna get raped in. Like, they're finna kill me. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. So I just reflect back to Roger Rabbit. Roger Rabbit's like my go-to movie, and it's the one movie that made me like super happy as a kid. And in that movie, there's a scene where the detective says to the rabbit, why are all these people doing this these nice things for you? And the rabbit says, because I make them laugh, Eddie. If you make people laugh, they'll do anything for you. So these girls start picking on me, talking shit about me. I start picking on myself. I start talking to them, like talking crazy and being silly, dancing, doing stupid stuff. And then like instantly they became my friends. I could have ended up fighting these, like they could have beat my ass. Yeah. They wanted to beat my ass.
I got chills.
And like I that used kind of comedy. And yeah, don't get chills, girl. It's okay. It's warm here.
Man,
it's okay.
Amazing though. Well, like what a show of strength.
Yeah.
You used comedy, just like you were saying, and I cut you off. But that you won people over and you were terrified inside.
Scared as fuck. And I almost was going to pee on myself and be like, look, y'all, I don't have a bladder. Like, I didn't know what to do. I was dancing and cracking jokes. And then I remember watching Saved by the Bell. And there was an episode where Screech had put his hand over his face and did the other hand through the arm like that. It's like, come on, I'll take you on. So I did that. And they laughed. Like, it was like, just leave her alone. And then I remember just sleeping in the corner and like, I ain't going to cry. I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to, you know, like telling myself, like, you're stronger than these people. You know, don't cry. Mm. Don't cry. Just don't cry. Wait till you get in the shower. Cry then. And then I couldn't even take a shower because by the time my social worker came back, she was like, oh, we got a spot for you. So, boom, I go to this spot, this house she got me to live in. This lady, oh my God, she was like the most ghettoest woman I ever met in my entire existence. It's the first time I got my nails done. She took me to get my nails done right away.
Oh, that's so awesome.
How old are you
at
this point?
That's great, though. She
I'm like
you,
almost she, 13.
13. Okay.
So did she make you feel good?
Like, yeah, but I mean, not so good. She was like, girl, your ass is raggedy. We got to get you together, bitch. Like, She's like, when the last time you did your hair? Who combed your hair? I was like, I combed my hair. Well, you don't know what the fuck you doing. Bring your ass in here. She combed my hair. I remember that when I first came in, I had these trash bags, like my clothes in trash bags. That's like the one thing, like I get enough money and if I'm able to do something, I want to make sure every kid, no matter where they go, if they going into the system or whatever, they come with a suitcase. Like somebody gives them a suitcase so you can feel like you worth something. Because when your clothes is in a trash bag, when everything, your whole life, everything that you love is in a big ass 33 gallon trash bag and you dragging that motherfucker on your back, you feel like garbage.
So I do want to tell everyone that Tiffany does, and I hope you'll talk a little bit about this too, is your outreach that you do with foster kids and in the LA foster program because it's just so incredible to me.
Well, that's super important to me all the way around because there was somebody who encouraged me who came and said, look, you can push through this. It's a lot of times like as humans, all we need is an example or somebody to say you can do it and you'll do it. You'll be able to achieve it.
What's that person's name? Let's call her out.
My social worker?
The person that helped you.
Oh, there's so many people that helped me. There's so many people that cared, you know.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah, it wasn't just one person.
We hear a lot of negative press about that and about sort of our social care system because they are, you know, typically underpaid.
They are. They're working 80 cases, and one case might have 5 or 6 kids in it, and you got to figure out a home for each one of those kids and make sure they're not getting molested or raped or beat or taken advantage of, or these people just getting like, I remember I was in one foster home where they just wanted to check, and I was there to clean. And granted, now I know how to clean something if I want to clean something, but they didn't care about me. They didn't really have any love for me. I was there to clean and to get them a check. So it was like I was a live-in housekeeper who, you know, got them $500 every month.
So I was telling Sim before you came, I said, Tiffany is so incredible for so many reasons. Not only because she's like a brilliant...
I make people money.
But
I've been doing it since I was 12.
But also because of your strength. And when you're in a situation like that where you have to truly fend for yourself, and then how did you have like the courage to make it in Hollywood? I mean, because there
were certain things that I wanted, and now that all that perception has changed. But there's certain things that I wanted. Like, I wanted my father to see me and feel ashamed for not being there for me. And I also wanted my mom to see me and succeed and be like, yo, all that stuff you were saying, all those mean things you said to me, they were wrong. You were wrong.
Right.
When she used to be like, you look like your ugly ass daddy. You ain't never going to be shit. Like, this is her, because after her accident, her whole thought process, you know, the way she carried herself
really
was
bitter,
different.
Like, mentally.
Jealous, angry. Oh, I look just like her, except she's like maybe 10 shades darker. No, maybe 5 shades. She's darker than me, but I look just like her. And sometimes I feel like mothers have this complex, like, oh this bitch trying to be me.
Yes. Like, no, like, but I don't know if actually how much we've addressed the idea of mother-daughter jealousy. We address it a lot on my show. Anyway, sidetrack. Sorry. Okay,
go on. No, let's go, because it's real. But, it's a part of my existence.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's so strange to me. It's so weird.
Why is that weird to you and strange to you?
I don't know. I just feel like she would want to see you succeed, and she would want to see you.
You would think that. The first time she ever told me she was proud of me was once I did a stand-up comedy show called Bill Bellamy's Who's Got Jokes. It's my first time ever being on television telling jokes. She was living in a mental institution. I go to the institution. I show her the video, right? She's watching it at the end of it, and it's like her other, patients that live there, they're watching it too. Everybody's laughing, enjoying themselves. It goes off. She stands up. She looks at me. She looks at everybody in the room, goes, my pussy makes stars. That's the first time she ever told me she was proud of me. Like, that's how I took that. She proud of me. Okay. She proud of me.
Okay. Like, that's her way of saying she's proud of you.
My pussy makes stars. You know, my mom is in the other room.
That's the most narcissistic thing you can say. But look at what my pussy did. I carried that in my pussy for 9 months. Put it out. Fed it. Didn't die. It lived. It survived all the shit.
It's
a star. It's on fire. That's my pussy. You see my pussy? It makes stars.
I feel like it should be like a part of a...
That's what she said. And then I think the average human being would probably be like, you fucking bitch. Like, it would be hurt or sad. I was elated with joy when I heard her say that. It's the first time she said she was proud of me.
Yeah.
In so many years. Yeah. It's the most narcissistic thing you could say, but it's the first time I felt like she see me. She recognized that I'm trying to do something.
Yeah.
Like, I always want to do something that means something. In my existence, that's everything means something. Everything comes full circle from when I was homeless to when, like, everything. Like, it means something.
Well, I got to tell you that, I haven't known you for all that long, but I do want... First of all, I want to put like a sleeping bag over your head before you leave here, and
shit, white people shit.
Yeah, put you up in the attic, and keep you here for a long, long time.
But, I'm scared, you guys. It's Saturday.
I know you wanted to go watch
Tiffany.
Keanu.
I know you're supposed to leave in a little while, but you
can't
go anywhere.
There's 50 people looking for me. I told everybody. I tweeted that I was going to be here.
I know. We were all there. Everyone's going to go see your movie, but
they're never going to find you. You're going to be in my attic.
This place is so nice. I don't mind. I feel like your attic has a bidet.
The attic has a 50 inch flat screen and a massage chair, so you'll be fine.
No, it doesn't. It has desk. But I'm really, I'm just so happy that we became friends.
Yeah.
And I can't thank you enough for being here. And your story, you told me this like really early on when we were doing Keanu, you told me your story about being in foster care and all the outreach that you do, how you go and speak to kids, you give them hope. And it's just, it's so moving. And I hope you know, I don't know, that you touch so many lives, and I'm just beyond impressed. You're doing amazing work, and it's easy for me. My parents didn't, you know, always have a ton of money. They still don't. They still don't. But thank Southwest Airlines. but they had a lot of. I was really fortunate to have a lot of like belief in.
They believed in you. That's the key.
Yeah.
Like that's the key to developing any. I feel like healthy human being is having other humans believe in you.
Right. But
I mean, that's what the whole concept of God is. You got to believe in something that's higher than you. And if something that's higher than you says, "I think you can do it. You are awesome. I don't know you that well, but from what I can see, you can be whatever you want to be." That right there is enough to like boost you to the next level, to kick you to the next level, to the next level. And that's what I had with the comedy camp. My social worker used to get so mad at me because I used to get in trouble in school because I really wanted to fit in with these white kids. I did not know how. And so I would like do these imaginary characters.
I
just want to say really quickly though, my point being was that it was easy for me, not easy, but I had a great deal of support. What's so remarkable about you is that you are able to be this brilliant success and comedian and inspire all these people without necessarily having like the gift that I had. And that is a strength that I'm just in awe of. And anyway,
but you can manifest your own support. Don't get me started. I've been watching YouTube videos. Mom might take care of you.
Oh.
You understand me?
I understand.
You kiss with your lips.
I get you. I got it.
You want to live in a house, a hood adjacent?
I do.
2,100 square feet.
Yes.
Me and you.
Hood adjacent.
You just going to have to wash the clothes, wash the dishes.
I know how to do both.
Take out the trash.
Absolutely.
If you can do that when I get home, you're going to get your dicks.
Oh my God, he would love that.
I'm just saying that's the reason to suck somebody's in. I'm sorry, you're my
The laundry and
if the clothes are washed, the dishes are clean,
and the
trash is taken out, and like it's no clutter, and my husband's at home, he's gonna get his dick sucked.
There you go.
If I didn't have to do it, yeah.
There you go.
I used to tell my ex-husband that all the time, but that's why he my ex-husband.
Tiffany, will you come over every once in a while? And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give my sweet husband some Ambien.
What?
I just need you to sneak in every once in a while.
Girl, no.
I'm lazy, Tiffany.
I'm lazy too, but there's ways to go about it.
Hold on a second. Let's just break it down for a second, okay? So you are going to, in a sense, drug your husband so he's passed out, and then after he did all his chores, and then you're going to call up Tiffany. Tiffany's going to come in.
Like, while he's sleeping,
and then Tiffany is.
Give me my money, girl. Give me my money. Now lay on top of him like you did. Bye. He'll be like, "You're a Nubian queen." You'll be like, "That's right, baby. I'm the black princess. I transform for you." That's magic. But he will be so confused. He will love you forever. He would think you were like a shapeshifter.
And for me, it would just, you have no idea what kind of gift that would give.
Oh God, I know where you're coming from. I was married before. I know exactly what the fuck you're saying. No.
No?
I wouldn't do it.
Tiffany, I believe in you. We were besties.
I'm your bestie, and what I can do is I could teach you
how
to not be so frustrated with it. Or feeling so it's not frustration. It's just okay, I did this.
Are we talking about blowjob skin?
Oh, yeah. I was talking about blowjobs.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because Because blowjobs are important.
Okay, but I do need to know.
They're super important. My grandma taught me how to do it.
My parents are also in the
other room.
But
your mama fried chicken, so I know she know how to do it, too, okay? Don't play.
No.
Has she been with your daddy how long?
She does not know.
I know you say you don't want to think so, but he came in here smiling like a motherfucker. You know how to take care of her, man. I'm sorry. He's been with her how many years?
Oh, no, but my mom, she's very proud.
I guess she brought up. I love that
we're whispering right now because they're in the other room.
I'm sure she is proud of how she sucked dick when she needs to. You wouldn't be here right now living the life you live if she wasn't getting the wrinkles out them balls.
Can you imagine?
Your mom looked like she still fucked.
Maybe she sucked the sperm out of my dad's penis that was supposed to be the other me.
You're supposed to have 7 brothers and sisters. But she took it to the fucking scalp.
Maybe she was selfish.
No, she ate
that sperm.
She didn't eat it. She put it on her face. That's why she looked so young. She fucking rubbed it in, put it under her eyes. She put it in her hair. That's why her hair's so thick and beautiful. Sperm is very good for your skin.
You don't even begin to tell me that you buy that bullshit.
I don't buy it, girl. I sell it. It is. I remember when I was bald-headed on the sides. My edges was gone from these hair weaves. I got me a man. I jacked him off. I took the sperm in my hand and I rubbed it across my hairline. And my shit grew back, thick and beautiful. Because my hair follicles was pregnant with protein. And that's what men that's bald-headed need to do. Jack off in their hands and rub that shit on their bald spot. I guarantee your hair will grow back.
Oh, QVC. Let's take it to QVC.
You're masturbating with no purpose.
Tiffany, right? Don't you think QVC?
We could do it.
Where are you going to get all the participants?
Anna and Tiffany are going on QVC.
We're selling sperm. For hair growth.
Okay, this is what I want to know. Because now, all right, I don't want you.
I can teach you what my grandma taught me. She's a Jehovah's Witness. But she had 5 kids, 4 baby daddies. So she knows, she a champ.
And she does not probably watch a ton of porn, right?
No, this is from Bible times, 1950, 1960, when people was really fucking. And and then she became a Jehovah's Witness because she realized she might have been a hoe. Look here. I never forget, it's when I was getting married and she put me to the side and she told me what you need to do to make a man happy. It's certain things you have to do. And she was like,
can we get a little backstory? When was this? Do you mind my asking?
2008. It was 2008. And I had already been sucking dick occasionally because of the girls I went to school with. You know, they were like, oh my God, you want a Honda? What you need to do? And I never got a Honda, but I did get a Corvette because here's the thing. I sucked my thumb till I was 18. Right. So, and I never wore braces. And if you can see,
you have beautiful teeth.
You have amazing teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know how to suck it. And so I used to have strep throat like a motherfucker, though, because I would suck my thumb. When I went into psychiatric therapy, finally, at 22. I told the therapist, like, yeah, I sucked my thumb till I was 18, like, every single day. She's like, that's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing, but it's not really bad because it means that you're a self-soother. You know how to calm yourself down. You know how to soothe yourself. You don't need somebody from the outside to validate how you feel. You can soothe yourself. And I was like, oh, good. And that's why I can keep a man. Like, if I want a man, even if, like, every time I've ever broke up with a dude or been away from a dude, it's because I didn't like the way he was treating me.
Right.
Right? And so, and what I've learned recently, I've been doing a lot of research for my my special because I want to talk about relationships. And what I've learned about men is they're very emotional. They're more emotional than we are. And so you have to cater to their emotions, but not all the way, because they need to feel like they're being, what's the word? They need to feel validated, and they also need to feel like they are winning, right? So you have to create challenges. So you have to create positive drama for them. So
positive drama.
When I was married, my grandma told me that I had to.
Guess what? Like, what's positive drama? I'm sorry. I'm just like, I just want to know what positive drama is. Like,
oh, there's a lot of positive drama. Like, let's say he wants to watch the game, but you want to watch a movie. So you create a little controversy in that, but you let him win. But you have to make him work for the game, right?
Okay, all right. I like this positive drama.
So there's a little positive drama. He has to work for everything he wants. Because when a man, like men, they are designed to solve problems, right? And they are they designed for it. Like if I say to you, like, blah, 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 I got this ticket, da, 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 you're going to tell me how I should pay it, blah, blah, blah. You're going to try to give me the reason to solve it. Right. But if I create some, like, a little drama for you, and then you say, well, we should do da, 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 and I'll be like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
But you know what sucks?
Because you got to tell a man he's right.
I know, but what sucks is that it sounds like we have to be, like, incredibly manipulative.
It's not manipulative. It's really not.
It's not?
It's not. You're a mother.
Sure?
You're a mother. So you already know.
Yes, I totally
manipulate. You naturally
want to
tell your son that he's doing good.
I manipulate him. I'm like, you know, like.
You're teaching him.
Like, I tell him, like, I can run faster to your bedroom than you can. And he'll be like, no. Nice.
In my mind, that's not manipulating him. That's teaching him how to be faster. And you have to remember that men are very logical creatures. So whatever you say, the first three words of whatever your sentence is, that's what they hear. And then everything else is like fucking Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. So
that's
the first three words of whatever the sentence is. And if you want to compel them, you have to, you know.
The first three words or the last three words?
It depends on how many words this bitch is using. And you know, we got 80,000 words. We got to get out 80,000 a day because that's what makes us feel good. And you know, our coochies move like our mouths do, fellas. So if you make a woman laugh, that's why women love men that make us laugh. Because our coochies is flexing, like our mouth is flexing. Then make the juices flow. Now I want to fuck you. You're winning.
Yes.
I like this. Okay, so...
Don't get me started. I'm a scientist too.
No, you are, and you know what? And you're making a lot of sense. And my, like, for example, my girlfriend, she's incredibly intelligent, and she
that should make your dick hard.
I hope my parents aren't listening. Of course.
Why would I know? I'm sorry.
Some dudes.
yeah, Anna.
No, but some
yeah,
dudes.
Sorry.
Some dudes. An intelligent woman makes them soft, but for him, because he's an intelligent man, it makes him hard. Yeah. It turns him on. Okay.
Yeah, and she's sexy and beautiful, and she is really brilliant.
But speaking of her brilliance, now I'm beginning to understand this. Now I feel like she's always making me feel like it's my idea when it's actually hers.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that
all,
makes you feel good.
It does, but now I'm like, I get it.
That make you even like her more though. Now that you're thinking about it, like, catering to my.
She is. She does
she's
it. She does
my
it all.
Ego stay intact.
She's doing all that. We're moving into a new place together right now as we speak.
And she's like, I love how you take care of me.
She does.
You know what I love? Like when you tell a dude you love him, you can never just be like, I love you. You have to give them a reason because they're logical thinkers. So like, I love you, it doesn't mean shit. What you say after the I love you.
Oh my God, this is so brilliant.
Everything.
Okay,
it
so
means
wait, what
everything.
Do I say?
Like, you'd be like, you know what? I love it. You know,
okay, so I'm, okay,
I
so
love
Chris,
you so
Chris
much.
Chris is in, so right now he's in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We have an unbelievable relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I tell him next time I talk to him?
Okay, so next time you talk to him, okay. And like, do you guys Skype?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you gotta hit him with the, God, I love when I Skype you. It just, how sexy you are.
I definitely tell him how sexy he is.
I just, you know what I love the most about you though? Is you listen to me talk about the bullshit that I talk about. And it makes me so wet.
Oh, that's good.
When you finish listening to me, I love that about you.
I say it makes me so wet.
You gotta say it makes me so wet.
You gotta say when you listen to my emotions.
It
makes my pussy.
I can feel my heartbeat in my pussy. You gotta hit him with the like. You know what? Be like, baby, when you listen, like, you know what I love the most about you? You know what I love the most about you? Is when you listen to me say all the stupid shit I say, because a lot of the shit you say, he thinks is stupid. It's logical to you, but to him, he thinks it. When you listen to all the stupid shit I say, and then you tell me what you think I should
do.
The
only reason I'm whispering is because my parents.
Okay,
but yeah. Like, but
your mother knows this. She got your daddy on the back. Your mama already know this shit. She has mastered this motherfucker. Do you see how happy your daddy was to play with the little boy? Because your mama got that shit on lock. Okay? You smell the chicken she is cooking in the kitchen right now? She know how to make her man happy. If you could send a motherfucker a smell through Skype, if you could be cooking a meal. Now,
wait,
if you cook
still,
a meal.
No, wait. No. Let's get off the visual. Cooking. I still need more advice.
Okay, so...
Wait, whisper a little bit louder.
Okay. Next time when I talk to Chris,
right.
I'm going to say, what do I say? Is he baby? It makes me, makes my pussy really wet.
No, first thing you say, don't say that first.
Okay.
Don't come out there because he's going to be like, somebody told you to say that. First thing you say is, babe, what? How was your day? Right?
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, oh, we did this. And they're like, oh my God. And he'll be like, let me tell you what happened to me. And then he sits there and listens to you. And then he might be like looking off to the side. Whatever,
yeah,
but
he doesn't
want to
hear that.
Yeah, but just keep it short, like 2 minutes, 1 minute. And then go, you know what I love the most about you? In the middle of your story, just stop it. In the middle of your shit. Stop, pause, be like, yeah, you know, the baby did this.
No,
and then I went out and
okay,
I had
wait,
it. And
wait,
the mailman
wait,
came
wait.
And I was like, get the fuck off my porch, mailman.
Wait.
You're a weirdo. Put your dick back. He's like, what are you doing? I'll be like, I'm just playing. Babe, you know what I love the most about you? Shut the fuck up. Count to two. 1, 2. The way you listen to my stupid ass shit, it make my pussy wet. It make me so wet when you listen to me say stupid stuff. Or even, like, I know sometimes I get so passionate about a subject, and I'm like talking, and you just sit there, and you have that dumb look on your face. It makes me so wet.
Okay, Anna, I want you to repeat that. I want you
best.
To repeat that.
Yeah,
okay, go ahead. I want you to try it right now, okay? You're now, I want you to say, just paraphrase her, but just do it the best you can.
Okay.
Remember,
okay,
go ahead.
Okay. Oh gosh, babe, I know. So here's what happened. Like, I took Jack to school, and I had this weird thing with the nanny, and there were a couple other things that happened today, and like, I don't know why the trash can is broken again, and I have to call, like, you know, the Los Angeles Department, whatever, of trash, and like get a new recycling can, which is kind of a pain in the ass. But can I tell you something? My pussy is so wet.
No.
What did she do wrong?
No.
What did she do wrong?
You have to say, babe, and the Department of Trash came through and da da da. Oh my God, I have to tell you something.
I have to tell you.
Pause.
Okay.
Almost pause to where he goes,
what? Can we do it step by step?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God. I have to tell you something.
Pause. He's going to be like, what? I love you so much.
I love you so much.
Because you listen to all my stupid shit.
Because you listen to all my stupid shit.
And that make my pussy wet.
And that makes my pussy so wet.
When you coming home?
When are you coming home?
I need to sit on that good listening dick.
I need to sit on that good listening dick.
There are 2 men in this room right now laughing their asses off quietly because their dicks are getting harder and harder as they hear this because they wish somebody would say that to them.
Can I tell you something about your dick that's better than anyone else's dick.
It hears me.
It's like your dick has ears.
And I just want to talk into it.
I want to talk with my pussy listening.
No. Don't say pussy. So it's just, I feel like your dick has ears.
Your dick has, I just feel like your dick has ears.
And I just want to talk to it. I just want to put it by my mouth.
And soothe it.
And just talk to it.
Can I say soothe?
I just want to tell your dick everything that's wrong with me. I don't want to tell you. I just want to tell your dick everything that's wrong with me because I know your dick can make it feel better. Then shut the fuck up. And just shut
Done.
Up.
Done.
Just
Done.
Shut up.
You That's are amazing. You're a guru.
Just
oh
and just God. Shut up after that. Just you're, shut you're a guru. The fuck up.
A guru. My dad wants me to tell you about Nancy Pipinich. Nancy is a good friend of my family and has no idea that I'm talking about her here on the podcast. But Nancy came into our lives nearly 40 years ago when my dad called State Farm to talk about buying our first house. And Nancy has been personally taking care of my family ever since. From home and auto insurance to investments and banking, State Farm agents know that in life anything can happen. And with over 19,000 agents across the United States, there is an agent near you ready to help build your dreams or face the unexpected. So contact an agent today, because no matter where you're from, or whatever stage of life you're in, State Farm is there for you. Check out statefarm.com today to find an agent in your neighborhood. State Farm, talk to an agent today. Thank you, Nancy. Hey, dear listeners. I think I told you about the Chrysler Pacifica's best-in-class storage capacity and the journey of my new houseplant, which began with the fold-down second and third row seats magically disappearing into the floor. It was incredible. On the same adventure, I also made use of something called Stow and Go Assist, which lets you slide the front seats forward so you can access the in-floor storage bins. The Pacifica is a 2019 top safety pick with features like forward collision warning, active braking, lane departure warning, and a 360-degree surround view cameras that come in handy when you block the back window with a large shrub. Under the same circumstances, the parallel and perpendicular park assist was also more than helpful. I also consider that you connect theater system to be a safety feature with 20 speakers at the proper volume and windows down. Notorious B.I.G. lets everyone know I'm coming. And thanks to the wireless headphones and 10-inch touchscreens, I can play the music I want to hear without my son Jack, you know, learning any new words. The all blacked out exterior and blacked out 20-inch wheels complete my image. So Chrysler is offering unqualified listeners two offers: employee pricing on 2019 model year Chrysler Pacifica models, or you can visit pacificaisqualified.com to receive a $1,000 offer on a Chrysler Pacifica hybrid model. That's all one word: PACIFICAIS QUALIFIED.com. I love you, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being a part of Unqualified, and thank you so much for supporting our sponsors.
I think we have to get to callers all right, now.
All right, so Tiffany, we know that you have to leave a time commitment. All right,
yeah, so we have to get to callers now.
Do you mind doing a caller?
Okay. Yeah, let's do a caller. Right. This is so much fun.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so glad. Will you come back again sometime?
Girl, I'll come every week. We could turn this into a regular thing, and I'll bring Loretta.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah.
We'll get Gerard and David Allen Gray. He lives down the street, you know.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. So we call. So people have submitted questions. Mm-hmm. And about relationship stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we answered.
Hello?
Hey, Beth.
Hi.
Hi, it's Sim. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi, Beth.
So Anna, of course, is here, and Tiffany Haddish is also here. She is the female lead of Keanu, which is a new Key and Peele movie that's out in theaters right now. And she's here as well, and we're gonna do our best to help you out.
And she's fucking awesome. She just gave me relationship like great blowjob advice. And my parents.
But it's just relationship. If you say, I'm telling you.
My parents are in the other room. I really hope that my mom didn't hear that.
I'm just telling you, if you say this, even while he's out of town, like, you don't have to suck his dick while he's out of town. He's going to be, he can't wait to get home so you can do that for him. And then when he gets home, but I'm telling you, when he gets home, work. Just talk to it.
Beth
is so confused right now.
I'll teach you how to make it faster and easier, too. But okay. You just talk to it.
Okay,
but you talk to it for 15 minutes and then you for
you
1 minute and 32
seconds.
You told
me to talk to the balls.
Yeah, you got to talk to that motherfucker.
Beth, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, Beth. I'm sorry, Beth. But we're just trying to teach you how to win.
Oh, my God. So Beth has, so Tiffany, we were doing romantic relationships for a while. And then we've kind of expanded to relationships in all areas, including friends and coworkers. So Beth has some things going on with her best friend. Beth, why don't you tell us what's going on? Why are you worried about your relationship with your best friend?
Well, last August, my best friend moved from Chicago to Atlanta. And she moved there for a job. And when it happened, we kind of stopped talking. She works weird hours. She works for a news station. And around Christmas time, I asked her if she was coming home because her family lives around here. She said, yeah, I'm coming home tomorrow. And I said, okay, do you need me to pick you up from the airport? Do you need a place to stay? And she said, no, I'm going to stay with my old roommate. I said, okay, that's cool. Do you want to come down? Because my husband and I bought a house in August after she moved, and she hadn't seen it yet. And she said, I don't know. I really don't want to take a train down to see you. So that was when I got upset. And then I said, okay, well, let me know what your plans are going to be. And then she never talked to me the rest of the time she was here.
What happened before she moved to Atlanta?
Yes, because it sounds like she's mad at you.
Wait, I don't think Beth is done. I want you to go. Tell us about your birthday also. Beth and I spoke on the phone before, so tell us about your birthday. I want Tiffany and Anna to kind of get a clear picture of everything that's going on before they jump in.
Something happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So my birthday was in October, and I planned like a housewarming slash birthday party for myself and my husband. And I found out after I got upset at Christmas, I found out my husband told me that he offered to pay for her to come up to surprise me.
What?
And she offered to pay for the flight and everything she needed, and she said no. So after I found that out, I mean, my feelings and me being hurt escalated.
So
what'd your husband do?
Ooh,
what
good
was that?
Question, Tiffany.
What did your husband do?
Oh, you think it was...
What did he do?
What did he do? Okay, what does he do?
Yeah, because I think maybe it's more of what does he do.
Yeah, what does he do? What does your husband do?
Or what? And what do you do? It sounds to me like
your husband said something made her uncomfortable.
My husband works for a nonprofit.
Okay, so what is her? Is she friends with your husband? Does she know your husband? Like, how well does she know? How long has she known your husband?
Oh yeah, she's known my husband. I've been with my husband for 8 years, and I've known her for 6 years.
Okay, so how did you meet her? Through your husband or just...
No, I met her in college. We met in a music class.
In college.
I know what Tiffany's getting at, which is what I'm getting at, too.
Because if somebody husband called me and said they're going to pay for my ticket, they're going to pay for blah, 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 depending on the tone and all that, how did he say it? And then how he be looking at her, like, she might feel uncomfortable with all of that.
Or I think that maybe Yeah, her but friend.
But what
is,
happened between you two? Was her, she?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's what the issue
cause if,
is.
Because if my homegirl said, like, if my homegirl's like, oh, like, I move around a lot. I got a best friend. And she'd be like, oh, I want you to come, blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, I can't.
That's
and
me.
She's cool with it. She cool with it. But then, like, if her husband called me and be like, oh, I'm planning this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, it's gonna make me uncomfortable.
Well, so I feel like husband. that your
but
friend,
what else is going on though?
So yeah, there's
how often do y'all talk?
I think we
don't talk that much anymore.
Which is sad.
But here's the thing though, did something happen? Was there some incident?
So you've been with your husband longer than you known her, or you've been with you known her longer than you known your husband?
I've been with my husband longer.
Right. So
but,
then...
But as far as I know with her, I know she's never said she didn't like my husband. I mean, she was my maid of honor in our wedding. So
I think she's feeling neglected by you. And then the last...
Or she jealous than a motherfucker because you got a husband and she don't.
Well, that's true.
And, like, her husband, your husband is trying to buy her tickets and make sure you be where you at. And she like, fuck your husband and your happiness, bitch.
You know what?
I don't give a fuck about y'all. Oh, happy and shit. Like, he's taking care of your friends and shit. Look at me over here, lonely than a motherfucking Atlanta where all the men is gay. I can't get no dick out here. I just want to see the people I got blood with. Bitch, fuck you and your beautiful relationship.
Beth, do you know how in Key and Peele, which Tiffany is the brilliant star in Keanu that is just coming out, but I do feel like recreated like the anger. You know how when President Obama gets angry?
You got a man that love you, want to throw some parties for you.
I love it. Tiffany, will you?
You got a man willing to pay for other bitches to come and hang out with you? Fuck you, bitch. I hate y'all jealous. Nobody love me like that. Why? Lord, why? Nobody love me. But he loved her. You bless, girl. You bless. Take that as a blessing. She's a jealous bitch.
Yeah, it does sound like she may be a little jealous. And I, but I will. I don't want to like. You know,
I'm working all these hours and seeing it. All these men is gay.
Oh boy.
They come up in here in high heels higher than me. Do you know what it's like to live in the South? It's hot. It's sweaty out here. I'm moist. None of these men want me. They want each other. And you got a husband that loves you, taking care of you.
Okay, no.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm reflecting back on my past. I'm sorry.
Personal.
Beth, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
That bitch is jealous, Beth. Tell that bitch stop being jealous.
Well, first of all, do you miss her as a friend?
No.
Do you miss her? Like?
Oh yes.
Oh, then I guess you gotta
I lived with her in college for a year and a half.
Okay, so Beth, I feel like you're confused by why she's treating you this way, right? You don't know why she's doing this and you're not sure how to reach out to her. Is that what it is?
Beth.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. Yeah.
Did you guys have a gay moment?
Initiate it.
Everyone has a gay moment.
Beth, did you and your bestie have a gay moment?
Wait a minute.
In college.
No, this is not relevant, Tiffany.
It is relevant.
Everyone
did
has a gay
you guys
moment.
Have a gay moment
everyone
in college?
Has a gay moment.
Absolutely not.
We're about
okay,
to
well then, okay, I'll just make it sure because she could be really just like, oh, you getting all that dick. I getting all dick.
Here's the thing, though. But
that's my pussy. She not.
But,
that's
but,
no gay
but,
moment.
But here, but Anna was like, assume that everyone has a gay moment. Right? What?
No,
what are you
don't
that?
We all?
I was with my husband during college.
First off, Anna, I never went to college. This is the gamest moment I'm having, and that is drinking out of your cup.
Give me time, girl.
This
that's
is the
all part
moment
of the plan
I've ever had in my entire existence.
Oh, God. All right, Beth. No, Beth. Seriously, I mean, here's the thing. You don't know what to say to your best friend right now. Is that's what's going on, right? And you want to know why she's treating you this way. Is that correct?
Yeah.
She jealous.
Yeah.
Do you think she could be jealous of you?
Yeah, of course she is.
I don't know. Like I said, I've been with my husband the whole time I've known her. And I don't know if she
How many men have you seen her with? Does she have a boyfriend or a husband or anything?
No, I mean, I don't know if she's dating anybody right now.
She lonely as fuck. And when, let me tell you something, hurt people try to hurt people, okay?
Yeah.
I know from experience, because I have tried to hurt people because I've been jealous. And I had to check myself, and I had to apologize to my most best friend. Like, since we was 12 years old, my most best friend. She can't see me in foster care and everything.
Hurt people try to hurt people.
They do. And I remember I was so mad because she had a husband. She pregnant, everything. And I said something, and I had to say, I'm sorry I said that. I don't even mean to say that. I'm just mad because you got everything that I think I want, but then I know that's mm-hmm. not what I'm ready for.
Yeah.
So, so she's probably just a little jealous. I mean, even though she knew you when you guys got together, she watched y'all love flourish, she probably wants that too and doesn't have it. And when she finally gets a man, she'll come back around. And or you might not need that bitch because she might be an evil bitch anyways.
It's true that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, I think, to be lifelong friends with the people that we feel close to at a certain mm-hmm. time in our life, especially if we're vulnerable. But it's okay to let friendships ebb and flow, right?
Right. No, that's completely true.
Right?
That's
because it was true. Like my grandma used to say, friendships is like trees. You got some people that are roots, some people are the trunks, some people are the branches, some people are bark and they fall, leaves and they fall off.
Mm-hmm.
You learn something from everybody, you know, and just be grateful for the time you had.
And some of my best friends back in the day. But I do want you to know that if you're happy, your true friends will celebrate in your joy. And
And you got a husband, girl. Fuck that bitch.
Yeah.
You got a man. You lucky like backing you. He willing to pay for other bitches to come and see you. It's like you a queen.
And listen, also
you royalty.
When this podcast comes out, Beth, we give some blowjob advice because my parents are just around the corner.
That's why we're whispering.
Yeah, so I don't want to talk too much. But Tiffany is on the like pro blowjob.
Level because I sucked my thumb till I was 18 and I had perfect teeth.
I am sort of on the anti, not anti, but
you just don't. You be tired of it. I know. I used to get tired of it.
Tired when I was woman.
When I was married, I would be tired too. But you have to find the moments, and you have to encourage him to create those moments to make it exciting. You encourage him to create those things. So like when think about when you're the most turned on. When you feel like doing it, and you tell him
to have my husband go down on me while Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's some bomb shit right there. Hold up. Sometimes now I might, this gonna sound like some ratchet shit, but I'm a comedian and I got a lot of male fans. And sometimes, like last season of Game of Thrones, not this season right now, I haven't done it yet, but last season there was a lot of dudes trying to be hooking up with me, and I used to be like, look, real shit, we can get a room. They got HBO. We watch Game of Thrones. You eat my pussy.
They really thought that was...
We get a room. We watch Game of Thrones. You eat my pussy.
No. We get a room. You eat my pussy. I leave. We watch Game of Thrones at the same time. Bomb shit. Best time of my life. But if I had a husband, that probably would be more better and even more comfortable because I wouldn't think they was going to try to Dexter my ass on some Showtime shit. But, I mean, I took a few chances. I did it 4 times last season. In the season before that, I did it 3 times. In the season when I first got divorced, I did it 2x. And it was phenomenal.
So, hey, Beth.
Beth, stay married because it's easier.
I will say that, you know, I feel like one of the sad truths of getting married and being in a long-term committed relationship is that you do make decisions on your friendships. And I don't want you to be within... There's enough challenges in life between work and marriage and everything... for you to have a friend that that makes you feel, that makes you, you know.
But you don't think she should even talk to her and find out what's going on?
No, don't waste your time. You let that bitch call you. Beth, don't waste your time. You got a husband. You have a family. You have more than what she has. Like, if she wants to be your friend, you let her come to you. You're a queen. Your husband offered to pay for her to be there.
Yeah, for her birthday.
Yeah,
for your birthday.
What an amazing gesture, by the way.
So
yeah, that's a good man.
Unless your husband says something that made her super uncomfortable or whatever, and this is how you gonna know if your husband says some foul shit or, like, that was like out of pocket. Do you have any other friends that are acting like this?
No.
No.
Probably not.
No. So she's jealous.
Yep.
You're not that important to her in her mind, or you are that important to
you're
where
so
she don't want to be a part of your
jealous.
Existence.
Jealous.
Like, it hurts her feelings to see you happy. Maybe she was on some, you know what I'm saying, a single white female shit, and she wanted to be you. Fuck these hoes. You shouldn't be worried. You got dick at home. You should never be worried about anything any female trying to do, as long as she is not trying to infiltrate your household. Mm-hmm. And she trying to stay outside of it, let her be outside of it. Because it's a reason. And you don't want to pull that in.
And you know
if
what?
She's being distant, let her be distant.
And Beth, you're like all of us, you're going to go through a lifetime like shifting of friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have friends sometimes in your 20s, you'll have friends in your 30s, you'll have friends in your 40s. Everything's going to shift, and people will reveal themselves. And if you have to devote too much of your joy that you should be able to celebrate right now in your life to your friend to sort of nurture her or whatever, That's just unfair.
She not and,
yeah.
And Beth, you need to sort of rejoice in your in all the great things that are happening for you.
Can I share a story real quick?
Oh, I'd love it.
Story.
Beth, are you ready for a story?
About
sure.
One of my best friends from since I was in seventh grade at Hell Middle School. Her name is Shayna. She is a half breed girl. I walked up to her.
Wait, she's a what?
Half breed. I call her half breed. She's
what
like,
does that mean?
She's black and Jewish, black and white. And so I walked up to her in seventh grade. I was like, "Your hair is beautiful. You're going to be my friend." She was like, "Oh, you're a widow." To this day, she's my
friend. She said, "You're a widow?"
I'm a weirdo.
Oh.
I'm a weirdo because I walked up to her and said, "You're going to be my friend."
I'm sorry, Tiffany.
Like, when I decide people going to be my friend, they're going to be my friend. Period.
I grew
right?
up north of Seattle. Like,
okay, I'm sorry. "You're going to be my friend. You're," and then she said, "You're a weirdo. Oh my God. Do you listen to Weezer?" So then, you know, we were friends all through junior high, all through high school, and even after. And she went to Pepperdine University, and I would come and visit her in school. And I didn't even, I wasn't even in college, but I would go into her classes and I learned a lot. And so I got free education. She started working for Channel 2 News. I helped her do like interviews with celebrities and stuff like that. Now she's a housewife. Her husband works for CBS, all this great stuff, right? We are not close like we used to be. We only talk probably 3 times a year. I call her every month. I call her every month, but we only talk 3 times a year. I tell her about the premiere of the movie. I say, "Look, remember when we was kids in ninth grade and I was like, you need to, like, we went to the Arclight Theater and we watched G.I. Jane. And I was like, one day I'm going to be on that big screen." And she sat right next to me and she was like, "Yeah, right, Tiffany." I said, "One day I'm going to be on that screen in this building."
And
you did it.
And so now it's like more than 20 years later.
Beth, my dear friend Tiffany, let me just give you a touch of backstory. She grew up here in L.A. and had a lovely family, but also grew up in the foster care system. And she's the star of Keanu, which is the new Key and Peele movie.
And Anna's in the movie too, by the way, Beth.
And she kills it. And then I kill her.
Yeah.
But anyway, so just to give you a little bit of backstory, just sort of, you know, whatever, just somebody to root for.
Right. So then cut to, I ask her a month ago, almost a month, 3 weeks ago, I find out about what day the premiere is on. So I call her and I find out it's at the Arclight Theater, the same theater we were sitting in when we were in ninth grade. And I was telling her, "I'm going to be on a big screen in here." So then I call her and I say, "Hey, I know you live in Palm Springs, and I know you're really busy and everything because she's a teacher.
Busy in Palms. Oh,
she's a teacher. She teaches third grade. She has three children, and she tends to her husband the way that my grandma taught us how, and that takes a lot of work. So, anyways, I'm like, I know you're busy, but I would really like it if you could come. Now, mind you, for the last 5 years, I have invited her to major comedy tapings, major TV show tapings, major things that I have done. I have invited her mm-hmm. to. She's always said no, she can't make it. So this night, she says, I'm going to be there. We have testing for the kids for the state of California, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to make my way out there, and I'm going to be at the screening. She comes to the screening. She came to my house. First off, she was shocked. Every time she ever seen me live somewhere, it was always in a piece of shit. I've always kind of lived in like the slums of LA. So this was her first time seeing me live in LA in the most beautiful house on the street. In the most, you know, I had
the
most beautiful.
Can you give us the address?
37. But I live in the most beautiful house on this street. It's the most, you know, I have the most beautiful furniture. My doorways, entry is beautiful. Like, I've really learned about feng shui and stuff and about attracting the things that I want in my life. She walks into my house. She sees all these. There's four other women there that are all orchestrated to make sure that I'm happy, to make sure that everything that Tiffany needs is done correctly. And then now she's like, oh, I want my eyelashes done. I want my. No, you're late. So you don't get your eyelashes done. You don't get this done. We got to go. Beautiful gown, beautiful. I'm going to wear your shoes. You can't wear my shoes. You're late. We got to go. So we leave. We go to the red carpet. She's there. Da, da, da. We see the movie. I tap her on the shoulder and say, remember what I said back in 1990 when I said blah, blah. She's like, oh, my God. Everything you say come true. Yes, bitch. Then she tried to take my car, my driver.
Oh, no.
She tried to take this my driver.
Oh, no.
All kind of stuff. Here, at the end of the story, this is what I got to say. She's always been better than me in both of our eyes. And now, in my eyes, we the same, but she might think I'm better than her. But we the same. She was on TV before me. She was out of
the... No,
but basically what I'm saying is, Beth, you're living a better life.
But, and also, Tiffany and Beth, it's like, it is the story of women. It's sort of, we talk a lot about this on our podcast, about the idea of like...
you're living the life.
Of women supporting each other on one hand, and then mm-hmm. being really hard on each other on the other hand, and jealous. And yeah. It sucks. It just sucks. It just...
All I'm saying is she tried to ruin my night all night.
That's awful. I'm sorry.
And for like a special
and
night.
Every night and like, in every moment, this is when I know I have my real bitches around me, because they was like intervening. She's like, Tiffany, can I take the car? And my friend, you can't take our car. You better get an Uber, bitch. You're not finna take the car. Tiffany might want to leave in 10 minutes. Tiffany might want to leave in 2 hours. You can't take her car? No, you get an Uber if you want to leave. Like, because everybody's coming up to me. The, you know, Will Forte, everybody, Nick Kroll, like all these major hitters in the business are coming up to talk. Jordan and Keegan, they're taking pictures. Is she got she her dress?
And
was,
this is your
nah,
night.
I'm gonna tell you, her dress
night.
Is better than mine. She didn't have on much makeup, but what
she's
had
trying
on
to make this
gorgeous.
About her.
She tried to make it about her, and it could not happen.
Yeah,
it was not gonna happen, and I was outshining.
But
her.
Tiffany, don't you think it is a really sad thing that we do to each other? Like,
it is,
because
I here's my thing. I don't never want to outshine any woman. I want every single woman in my presence to be uplifted. That's why, like, when Nick Kroll came over or Will came over, I introduced every single female that was in my crew to them. Like, everybody that was around me to them. Like, and then when I moved off by myself, and they're like, who you here with? I'm here with my girls. They over there. You see them over there? Mm-hmm. Like, those are my girls, and they over there standing. These are only four black women and one Asian chick. Like, those are my bitches. That's my fam over there. Like, they watching me. They protecting me. I'm moving around the room. They protecting me. Like,
can Beth and I be your bitches?
Yes.
Beth, have you ever been described as a bitch in a positive way?
We a pack. Look, we come in packs. We come in packs. And real bitches look out for each
other. Tiffany, will you say, Beth, you're my bitch?
Beth, you are my bitch. And the next time I'm in Shy, which will be in, I think I'll be in Chicago in June, I'm going to be looking for you.
But listen, but the whole thing though, in trying to give you some sort of like, I don't know, like advice,
clarity.
I think you just protect yourself and go with your gut. And I think that your friend is acting irrationally and jealous. And I really think that
she's jealous of the house, of the husband, of everything that's happening. And, and when she hears that, oh, come over and see my new house and my great husband and my dog and everything. And I'm sure part of her is like, you know what? I don't want to do that because it's just going to make me feel worse. I mean, that's her own thing. That's not yours.
It's not yours at all. Yeah. I have a friend right now who's a comedian that's like one of my really, like, we always motivate each other and talk to each other. And I've had my house since November, and she has still not come to my house. Now, I did put a magical spell around my house that nobody can come over unless they mean to do well towards me. If they mean anything evil towards me, they can't even walk in the front door. And I've invited her over 15 times, and 15 times she said she was coming, and 15 times she did not show up. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And we hung out together.
Why?
We hung out together just yesterday. In public, but she still will not come to my. She's like, I'm gonna come to your house on this day. She never shows up. You know what? I think it is because she knew me when I was homeless. She knew me when I didn't have nothing, when I was living in a 700 square feet box. She wanted to come and see that. But now that I got 2,100 square feet and bedrooms galore and backyard and I can walk around butt naked in my yard if I want to, she don't want to see that shit because that fucks with her soul.
Right.
Okay, so also, though, I want you to know, Tiffany, though, that my husband has a drone now and with a camera, so he's going to be flying it over your backyard.
First off, your house and my house is 32 minutes away from each other. So if he can fly that drone.
It's a long flying drone.
32 minutes away. And then he's going to have to find it between all these raggedy ass houses.
Hey, Beth. I got to tell you, though, I think that I just want to tell you that female friendships are
difficult.
They're so difficult, and they're also heartbreaking. And
we're too emotional in our own.
But
feelings.
But they are like I don't know. I'm sure Tiffany, you feel the same way that like they are. It is like a breakup, you know, or like there's a lot of emotional investment that I think I know that my husband doesn't feel. Towards his male friends.
I have a couple of friends, like, I yell, like, she's like, I don't want to be your friend. I'm like, bitch, you're going to be my friend forever, you stupid bitch. You're always going to be my friend. And now now I'm like, yeah, you're right. We shouldn't be friends.
You told me, and Tiffany, you were going to have my baby.
I did say that. And I will have your little black baby. I will be the bearer of your black baby.
All right. Before we let Tiffany, we're going to let you go too. But before we let Beth go, let's just give her some final advice.
So Beth, okay. So here's the thing, I guess. I think that female friendships will really come and go. Protect yourself. Understand that your friend is jealous and lonely and unhappy. And that's sad, but there isn't much you can do for that scenario.
Yeah.
And from my ghetto ass, all I got to say, Beth, is there's a lot of bitches out here that could be your friend. It's more women out here than there is men. And I'm sure you have some really good friends that are around you right now. And women is like panties, okay? They change every day.
So Tiffany's advice is...
And as long as you got your husband, you all right. Don't worry about these hoes because they're going to come and go. Okay? Right.
That's
good mentality for you, straight up 110%. You got a husband. Fuck these bitches.
Beth, stay the course. Okay. You're doing great.
Yeah,
and thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
And truly, like...
Thank you.
female relationships are so difficult. Beth, will you please give us a follow-up?
And let us know if she ever, you know, reaches out to you again.
I love you.
Yes, I will, definitely.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, Beth. I hope you understand that hood shit. I don't know about you, but when I laugh, my coochie flexes. Do you, like, think about it. Next time you just go in the bathroom after this podcast, put a mirror right there and laugh, and you'll see your coochie flexing.
I don't want to.
I'm telling you, that's what, like, that makes for good sex too. If you can laugh during sex, it makes it really good, because now your coochie is snatching his dick up with every laugh.
So I'm gonna need my husband to do like a stand-up routine.
No, you could just giggle a little bit, and he'll be like, "Oh shit, what are you doing?" Like,
no, but I can't. I'm not good at fake giggling.
Fake giggling.
Fake giggling.
When
okay,
you
do,
laugh,
do you want me to try to fake giggle?
Fake right? giggle, like, okay, just laugh, like, in your brain. Close your eyes, go into your brain, and laugh right now. And connect to your vagina when you do it. You feel your coochie lips flexing.
No,
don't you?
See, that was terrible though, wasn't it?
No, but it, your shit been like, it went real soft. No, laugh. Now do it hard. Do it hard.
Will you
do
it hard? Fake laugh?
You feel like all
But don't, do, are the men going to think that we're laughing at them?
No, what you tell them is, when I come, I giggle. That's my new shit, baby. I want to giggle when I come. I want to feel so motherfucking good when your dick is inside of me. I want to feel like your shit is provoking nothing but joy in this pussy. You understand me? I want you to put that joy in my pussy. When you come in this motherfucking pussy, you come joy.
You come
make
joy.
Make me laugh, motherfucker. Make this motherfucking laugh. Pussy flex. You see, I was humping you back. You feel how that motherfucker throwing back at you? Now make it laugh. Say something funny, motherfucker. I dare you. I dare you to say something funny. That shit is so funny. You saying that, Tiffany? It's going to make him laugh, and his dick going to jump like this, because dick jump when they laugh. Like, when you laugh, I mean, that's your root chakra. That's where everything come from, your fucking genitalia. That's where creation come from. That's where ideas come from. That's where everything come from, and it activate through your stomach, through your chest, through your throat, through your mind. And then you project that shit out into the universe.
Really?
So yes, I'm telling you some real knowledge. Like, so when that's your root. So when you laugh, if that dick is so good, you know how when you feel so good, it make you want to pee on yourself a little bit. Like, you don't know if you about to come or you about to pee. That's that good dick. And then you got to just giggle a little bit. So then that make your coochie flex. Now he about to come. You about to come. Now y'all intertwine, one soul, one spirit. Magic unicorns. Get a Corvette, bitch.
A Corvette.
That's how you know you're successful. In my mind. That's success. Corvette.
Tiffany, I love you so much.
I love you too. I'm crazy as fuck, but it's,
will you,
I'm telling you the truth.
Come back?
Because the dude, you know, dudes be like, always remember this. Just because you laugh, if you let him know why you laughing, he not going to be offended by it. If you let him know you laughing because it feels so good inside your spirit, him being inside of you, he going to try to be in you all the time.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Because men love to see, like, they love to see you smile. That's all they want, is you to be happy.
Yeah.
When a man decides he want to spend the rest of his life with you, he just want to see you happy. So whatever it takes. If he just got to flop his, if he got to hit his dick on thigh to thigh and that make you smile, he will do that shit every time before he fuck you. He will do whatever it takes.
You are wise, 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 wise.
Because I'm a unicorn. That's last
it.
Black unicorn.
Did you see that movie when you were a kid?
The Last Unicorn? Yes, that's the movie that made me decide that I wanted to be the black unicorn, because there was no black unicorn. There was only white unicorns in that movie. But that's because kids used to call me the dirty ass unicorn, because I had the shit growing on my forehead. Mm. And that's what I took the saying, I took it on. And
you know what?
Manifested it
and
into
you're way hotter than that, like, kind of lame, weak ass last white unicorn. She was fucking lame.
Yeah,
I mean,
she has beautiful eyelashes.
Ugh, whatever. You have beautiful eyelashes.
Thank you. I glued them on myself from Utah.
You're way hotter than the last white unicorn. You're my.
I love you so much. This is a dream come true for me.
I want to, like.
Is it?
I'm gonna.
Yes.
This
climb
been,
on your lap. Right,
I remember.
Now.
Look, I remember, like, gathering my girls, going to see your movies. Like, we would, like, fucking smoke weed and eat marijuana brownies and go watch you. Like, I love you. Like, and so when you came into the trailer that day, it was like the most awesomest day ever. And then now we sitting here across the table, your mama frying chicken, like, on some real black shit. I feel like this is the most magical moment of my existence. I'm so happy right now. Well, and I might start crying, because, like, I feel like I'm asleep and I just, and if I wake up, I'm gonna be sad. Like,
no.
This is the most awesomest thing. Like,
and I gotta
you
tell
guys,
you
guys, like, I'm a This is
Tiffany.
Girl,
Tiffany, you're amazing.
Yeah.
By the way, you're amazing, and by the way, you kick ass in that movie.
Thank you. Yeah. But this is you. My dream come true. No homo. But
I am. I'm gonna crawl on your lap right now. Watch me. I'm taking off my headphones.
I love you.
All right, Anna is taking off her headphones, and
I love you.
This is beautiful. Aw, they're embracing right now, and
I love her.
And you are like, I know that you know this, but because I don't know you all that well, I don't want to get to know you better. But your story, your inspiration level, what you do for kids all across Los Angeles is so incredible. You give them so much hope. You are like, I don't know. It's just, I was telling my mom earlier, I was like, Mom, you're not going to believe this one. I'm like, she just beat all odds and has, and still, you didn't absorb the bitterness.
It's a little bit in there, but like this magical shit keep happening. And fuck that bitterness. I'm hugging Anna. You guys. I used to sit in Magic Johnson movie theater and be like, I want her to be my friend. Look, and I'm hugging her. That sounds crazy and creepy. I'm sorry. It's true. Like, oh my God, it's the same thing. Like when I met the Wayans, like everything. I just be feeling like I'm asleep and I'm just waiting to wake up, and I don't ever want to wake up. We're hugging.
Listen,
I'm holding her.
You are. But listen,
this is a dream come true. Like every day is so magical.
But
I love being human.
Done this. This is you. You did this. You're so fucking funny. You're so fucking talented, and you have the spirit of, like, joy and genuineness that, like, got you to the place where people want amazing things for you.
I just fill my heart with, like, a lot of joy, and it make me want to cry a little bit. This is what's the awesome thing about being a woman. If I was a man, I would hate my life because I couldn't cry like this if I was a man. But, like, it fills my heart with so much joy because I just think about, like, where I was in, the first time I ever saw you, where I was living at, and then now I'm sitting here with you in your beautiful home. Mm. Like, I'm so proud of you. I know I bought a lot of tickets and I bought movies. Like, I'm like, oh, this is what happened. Like, I just feel like I never, you know, like, you imagine these things and you see YouTube videos and, like, you can manifest your existence and you can make this come true. And then when it starts, like, actually happening, and it's like you're living in this dream life.
Yeah, but you know why?
But it's real. It's very real.
Because,
but I cry a little bit, and there's not tears of pain or sorrow. There are tears of joy and happiness, because I was super happy when I was born, and I was definitely crying when I was born because I got out of that hot pussy and I was in that earth.
Last finishing thought, though, you're fucking brilliant.
And so are you.
You're a brilliant fucking person. And that will...
I've been waiting for a white woman to tell me that. Thank you so much. And somebody I wanted to be my friend. You're my friend. I don't care what you say. You're my friend. I could get on your last goddamn nerve. You could say you don't want to come to my housewarming birthday party. In my mind, you're still my friend.
No. You don't understand. I'm kidnapping you.
I will stay here, but we got to get my dogs.
Okay, so wait. Okay. Do you want? Should we?
Oh my God, I'm so happy.
Well, Tiffany,
let's eat some chicken.
Well, let's just end the show right now, Tiffany. Before we eat some chicken, let's just end the show. You've been amazing. Thank you so much for being a part of this.
Thank you.
We can't wait to have you back. And congratulations on all of your success. You were amazing in the movie. The movie is absolutely hysterical. And I just see bigger and better and brighter things
and
for you in the future.
Great actress.
You really are a great actress. And you're an amazing stand-up comedian, too. And
yeah, that's what I am first. Comedian.
And you're,
I want to bring joy, but
yeah.
I can bring the pain, too.
That's right.
Actress second.
You were really nuanced.
And number three, lover of humans because I am a unicorn and I care about you guys.
That's right. I love that. I want to be that too.
You are a unicorn.
And you made me feel so welcome. And thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for letting me be here in your beautiful house.
Okay, so
I'm going to move in next door to you in like 10 years.
No, you're not. Because guess what?
What?
You know what I'm going to do to you?
I'm going
to
live here. I'm going to be the house sucker.
I'm going to throw a sleeping bag over your head. Tie you up with some rope. Put you in the attic.